Good morning. Bless you all. Nice sunny day again. Going to be almost, I think it'll be 80 today. So enjoy the warm weather. But in John, I'm going to read out of John 8. Just one scripture, I think, even though it has a 31 through 36, has a whole theme kind of thing, but John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. How many like being free? Amen. Well, let's stand and we're going to praise the Lord. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day, and thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, the finished work, and all that you provide. Thank you, Lord, that we're here today to glorify you and to praise you and enjoy you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So long to my old friends, burden and bitterness, you just keep it moving, you're welcome here. From now till I walk streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. Healed my heart, changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I am free. I am free. I am free. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of this grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
He picked me up.
Get up out of that grave.
Because
he picked me up. He turned me around. Placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because he healed my heart. He changed my name. Forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.
Than the mountains. He's higher than the mountains that I face. He's stronger than the power of the grave. Amen? He's constant in the trial, in the change. One thing remains. Jesus. Thank you.
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Love
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Yeah.
Sing in death, 'cause in death, in life, I'm confident, I'm covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid.
If my debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love.
In death, in life.
'Cause in death, in life, I'm confident,
I'm covered by. He's worthy to be praised. Oh.
Triumphant love.
the Father's love, Jesus Christ be lifted up. Who else is worthy?
Been rejected.
You have always been chosen by me. Hallelujah. Always chosen, still and forever. Amen. Amen. And that settles it.
Amen.
Children and their children and their children, may His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you.
In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, He is for you, 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 He is for you. Sing amen. Amen.
and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you. He is with you.
He is with you.
In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 He is for you.
Thank you.
though before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you, He is with you. He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, He is for you. 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 Before you and behind you and beside you, all around you, He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you.
thanks, he said. He broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. Same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. Let's proclaim together. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Predominantly, we'll be in the Amplified. I think one scripture's in New King James. But Ephesians 4, verse 11. Continuing on in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians. Taking us a little while to get through. I'd like to read 11 through 32, if we can go through those. And then we'll start. Come back and start at verse 11, but it says in the Amplified, it says, and his gifts to the church. His here is Jesus. If we were reading Romans 12, we would be reading about the Father's gifts to the church. If we were in 1 Corinthians 12, we'd be reading about the Holy Spirit gifts to the church. But here, these are the gifts that Jesus gives to the church. It says, and his gifts to the church were varied. And he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for the work of service to build up the body of Christ, the church, until we all reach oneness in the faith. I'm still waiting. How about you guys? I'm just teasing. Until we all reach oneness in the faith. I mean, the word faith there could also mean belief, how we believe. Because the Bible does say we should all have one mind in Christ, the mind of Christ. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit, but speaking, verse 15, but speaking the truth. How do we speak the truth? In love. Amen? That's something to remember. Don't speak it in harshness. Don't speak it in judgment. Speak it in love. It's a big difference. In all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, the church, in all of its various parts, you can read about that in Corinthians as well, 1 Corinthians 12, in various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. When each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself in unselfish love. So this I say and solemnly affirm, together with the Lord, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as unbelieving Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds and in the foolishness and emptiness of their souls. For their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is clouded. They are alienated and self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the willful ignorance and spiritual blindness that is deep-seated within them, because of the hardness and insensitivity of their heart. And they, the ungodly in their spiritual apathy, having become callous and unfeeling, have given themselves over as prey to the unbridled sensuality, eagerly craving the practice of every kind of impurity that the desires may demand. And if you can't see this in our world today, you are blind, because this is all around us today. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If in fact you have really heard him and have been taught by him, just as truth is in Jesus, revealed in his life and personified in him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely disregard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature created in God's image, Godlike in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. Wow. And now, can't you say wow to all that? I mean, that's wow. And therefore, rejecting all falsehood, whether lying, defrauding, telling half-truths, spreading rumors, and any such of these, speak truth, each one with his neighbor. For we are all parts of one another, and we are all parts of the body of Christ. Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. Verse 28, the thief who has come, who has become a believer, must no longer steal, but instead he must work hard, making an honest living, producing that which is good with his own hands, so that he will have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as it is good for building up another, according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Amen? I mean, I know we got some work to do. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him, by whom you were sealed and marked and branded as God's own for the day of redemption, the final deliverance from the consequences of sin. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spiteful verbal abuse, and male violence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now that's a mouthful. Ephesians, 4, verse 11. Let's go back there. And it says, and his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets, new covenant prophet. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, or comfort to men. I mean, that's a different way to prophesy. There's a prophecy that is foretelling. You tell the future, you get a download from the Holy Spirit, and he gives you something that's yet to come. But this kind is what's used in the church. This is a new covenant prophecy. This is not judgment. This is exhortation, comfort. Amen? But he who prophesies speaks edification. How you know how you edify somebody? You build them up. Amen? You don't go at them and start, you know, slicing and dicing and find all of their faults and tell them about all their faults. You tell them about the good things of the Lord in their life that the Lord sees. That's what the Lord sees in them. You edify, you exhort, and then after you edify them, you exhort them to use their gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. And then you comfort them as well. See the message from God to the people, some as evangelists, who spread good news of salvation, some as pastors and teachers. And verse 12, and he did this to fully equip and perfect us, the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, the church. Verse 13 says, until we all reach oneness in the faith, until the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. And when you go back to that verse, and in verse 11, when he talks about those gifts that he gives us, those five gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, it says, 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, so God has appointed and placed in the church for his own use, first apostles, chosen by Christ, second prophets, those who foretell the future and those who speak a new message from God to the people, third teachers, then those who work miracles, then those with the gifts of healing, the helpers and the administrators and the speakers in various kinds of unknown tongues. Amen. When you read these things, you don't interpret these things as positions of authority, but as people who encourage one another with these gifts, with the miracles, the gifts of healing. These are things we do for one another, for building us up, keeping the church strong. Our church is strong by each of us building each other up. And then in the daily understanding of things. Nowhere in the New Testament is there any suggestion that some are to rule over others. We're not here to rule. I'm not here to rule over you. I'm here to build you up. I'm here to give you example. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 20 in the Amplified. Matthew 20, 25 through 28, it says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles have absolute power and lord it over them. And their great men exercise authority over them, tyrannizing them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you, you shall be your servant.'" He shall be your servant. "And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your willing and humble slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, paying the price to set them free from the penalty of sin." Amen. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore, I strongly urge the elders among you," and that's in parentheses, it says pastors, spiritual leaders of the church, "as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory that is to be revealed. Verse 2, shepherd and guide and protect the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not motivated for shameful gain, but with wholehearted enthusiasm. Not lording it over those assigned to your care. Do not be arrogant or overbearing, but be examples of Christian living to the flock. Set a pattern of integrity for your congregation. And when the chief shepherd, Christ, appears, you will receive the conqueror's unfading crown of glory." See, the church has one head. Who is it? Jesus, amen? And there's no hierarchy underneath him. These ministry gifts that were given by Jesus are given for us to be coaches to one another, exhorting one another, edifying one another, comforting one another. We're not called to be colonels, we're called to be coaches. Amen? And the five ministry gifts listed here are expressions of the ministry of Jesus. Jesus in the Bible in Hebrews 3:1 says he's the chief apostle. Jesus is the prophet in John 6:14 and 7:40. Jesus is the gospel preaching evangelist in Mark 1:15 and Luke 4:18. And Jesus is the pastor or shepherd in 1 Peter 2:25 and 5:2, which we just read. And Jesus is the teacher in John 13:13. Again, apostles are sent ones. Every time I see a penny, I pick it up. And I said, I'm 1 cent. By God. Amen? Good reminder, I'm sent by God. Like those who go out to plant a church, ambassadors. Prophets assist the apostles in the foundations of the church. Ephesians 2:20. They plant new churches and strengthen existing ones. And although we are all God's messengers, those with apostolic gifting excel in the activity and are able to train others for ministry. Again, these are brief descriptions. You can take one description of apostle or prophet and spend a whole sermon on all the things that these people do, all the gifts that they have. And there are volumes written on all these varying gifts in the body of Christ. Prophets, although all believers can prophesy, like I just showed you in 1 Corinthians 14, Those who excel in this area may be recognized as prophets. A prophet builds the church by calling forth God's purposes and by helping others walk in their God-given and callings. It's not to be over them. No gift is over. It's always under, to build up, to lift up, to exhort, and to comfort. That's where all the gifts are for in the church. If you ever go to a church and everybody seems to be over you, you're in the wrong church. You're not in God's church. New Testament prophets included Agabus. If you go to, when you get some time later, look up Acts 21:10. Agabus was a New Testament prophet. Judas and Silas were New Testament prophets, Acts 15:32. And the four daughters of Philip in Acts 21 were also these kinds of gifts that they had. They had these gifts as prophets. Evangelist, the original noun, means a preacher of the gospel, good news. And although all believers can preach the gospel, those who excel in this area can be recognized as evangelists. An evangelist's job is not merely to evangelize, but to help the church exercise the gift of evangelization. Examples of evangelists include Philip in Acts 21:8 and Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:5. Pastors, the original noun, means shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd, not a sheriff. How many's ever had a pastor for a sheriff? It's not what a pastor is called to do. He's called to be a shepherd who has been entrusted with the caring for the flock. They not only feed and care for the sheep, they teach the saints how to feed and care for each other. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to feed and care for one another, each one of you. Use your gifts, amen? I mean, he's given us gifts. Jesus gave us gifts. The Father gave us gifts. The Holy Spirit has given us gifts. A pastor is not a CEO or a general or a high priest lording it over others. A pastor fulfills their shepherding role by watching over the church, guarding against all wolves, and by teaching and praying and setting a good example. Teachers, although all believe may teach, those who excel in this area recognized as teachers, teachers come in many varieties, but their main purpose is to help the church grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, expounding the scriptures, doing the deep, heavy work for you that you don't have to do, looking up scriptures, looking up the Greek, looking up the original language, and letting you understand it. They unpack the written word to reveal Jesus, the living word of God. And you can find that in Acts 4:2, 15:35, 18:11, and Colossians 3:16. Let's go to Colossians 3:16 and just read that together. It says, "Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, and permeating every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within your dwelling in your heart and mind." Amen. Before Paul and Barnabas were commissioned as apostles, they were numbered among the teachers of Antioch in Acts 13. In verse 12 of Ephesians 4, it says, "To equip and perfect, the moment we were born again, we were complete in Christ," according to Colossians 2:10. But as a baby needs to grow, we need to grow and learn how to walk in the grace that God has given us. And to help us grow, God provides pastors, coaches, and trainers, teachers, pastors and teachers for the work of service or ministry. The original noun for service, diakonia, is related to the word for servant or minister in Ephesians 3:7 and is sometimes translated as ministry in 1 Corinthians 12:5. I'm just mentioning these scriptures because if we stopped and turned to every one of these scriptures, we'd be here till midnight. But ministry is not something to delegate to a few hired hands. It's the saints who minister to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers who teach the saints how to minister. And minister is not something that only happens solely on Sunday mornings. Ministry can happen anywhere, anytime. And ministry is what you do when you exercise your spiritual gifts in ways that reveal the heart of the Father. And since God's grace and wisdom comes in countless varieties, Ephesians 3:10, 1 Peter 4:10, they are nearly infinite types of ministries. Sometimes just being nice to somebody at a grocery store and opening the door for them, or at a restaurant. I mean, I forget where I was last week. I was somewhere, I opened the door, and like 20 people went through the door. And I said, I just told them this is Olive Garden. Did you ever know what Olive Garden used to open the door for you when you came in and go out? So I got the example from them. So I do it now because it's showing the kindness of God. Building up, the purpose of ministry is to build up the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the church. It says in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. And it just doesn't happen. It takes time. It takes learning. It takes growing. It takes loving. It takes kindness to one another. Amen? But it's something that we can attain or arrive at. The unity of the faith until the church has become spiritually mature, sharing a common faith and walking in the fullness of what it means to know Jesus. The knowledge of the Son of God, knowing Jesus, is how we grow. Believers who have little understanding of what Christ has done remain immature and susceptible to bad teaching. The remedy is to crave the pure milk of the Word so that you may grow, 1 Peter 2:2. Jesus is the living Word, the bread of life, and the more we feed on Him, the more we grow. A mature person, full-grown body of Christ, the church will walk and talk like Jesus Christ. In the Gospels, Jesus walked the streets of Judea in the flesh, and now He appears to the world in the form of His body, us, the church. But this portrayal is distorted, for as long as the church remains immature and divided on matters of faith, it is not essential that believers become part of one great big denomination. It's good that we have variety, differences all around. Amen? But we're still the body of Christ. We're all going to be together in eternity forever. The Bible says the things that we see here, the visible is only temporary. The things that we can't see, the invisible, is eternal. But to attain the unity of the faith, we need to be like-minded on the seven attributes that Paul lists in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body of believers and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when called to salvation. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is sovereign over all and working through all and living in all. And so the original adjective for mature, teleos, is sometimes translated in other scriptures as complete. You can find that in James 1:4 or perfect in Matthew 5:48. But it's the same word Paul uses when he says, we admonish and teach everyone so that we may present everyone complete in Christ. Colossians 1:28. It means to be fully developed and mature in the measure of stature, the full dimension of Christ. In many ways, the church falls short and does not measure up to Christ. But with so much division within the body, it may seem that we will never reach the full measure of Christ. But Apostle Paul writes to encourage and inspire us. By the grace of God, we will attain maturity and harmony within the body, and it will happen as we grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus the Head, the fullness of Christ. We, the church, will become like Him. Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 16. It says in verse 14, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, but by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body, the church in all of its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. Amen? Amen. And we will be one, because he prayed for us in John 17 that we'd be one. I mean, if Jesus prayed it, it's done. It's finished. Amen? Amen. God bless.
Overwhelms and satisfies.
1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, be on guard. Stand firm in your faith in God, respecting His precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men and women and be courageous. Be strong. Let everything you do be done in love, motivated, inspired by God's love for us. And then 23 and 24, the grace of the Lord Jesus, His unmerited favor, His spiritual blessing, His profound mercy be with you, and my love be with all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.
You too.